You recently wrote a piece for the Oakland Press, and it was titled Describe Democracy, Describe Freedom, and Vote on November 2nd. Why'd you write that?
Well, you know, I've been blessed to have some great jobs and make a difference in the lives of people. I was in China in 1989, standing with the students, the student protesters in Tiananmen Square, when they were asking their government to help bring about greater democracy, greater freedom. And we know what happened on June 4th. The tanks rolled in and hundreds, if not thousands, of people lost their lives. 21 years later, the Nobel Peace Prize gave one of those people that were organizing that event, Mr. Liu, a Nobel Peace Prize. But standing with those students 21 years ago, they asked me at that square at 1 o'clock in the morning to describe democracy, to describe freedom. And it's pretty hard to tell people what a lot of us just take for granted in this country. And on November 2nd, 2 weeks from now, one of the greatest things we have in this country is the ability to select a Virge Bonaro or Rick Snyder to be our governor, to choose a congressperson, local elected officials. And it saddens me that, you know, the turnout will probably be 20-25%, while people literally around the world are fighting, dying, being jailed for the right to have what many of us just take for granted. So, you know, if we don't vote, our liberty may be history.
Tom, if I was to play devil's advocate, I could say, why is this guy so pro-China? Does that mean that you're more for China than you are for us here in Michigan and the United States?
Well, just the opposite. What I'm talking about is very pro-Michigan. You know, right there in your town in Lansing, it's the old Oldsmobile. This isn't your father's Oldsmobile, and this world has changed drastically. There's 1.4 million people in China that are looking to buy things that we have. We should be selling our fruits, our vegetables. We should be making sure that their rise doesn't come in our demise. So I'm very pro-Michigan and very pro-America, but I also realize that we live in a big world, and we have to find ways, one, to live in harmony with other people, and to find ways to make sure that that trade benefits our people. And you need to reach out, you need to understand, you need to work with. And just sitting back, as we've done, and it's happening around the country, vilifying and making the other country a problem. And I'd say that we need to take a look in the mirror. We need to take a look at what we can do and what we can control in order to put Michigan people back to work.
Tom, what happened to countries like the United States? And I'm not just singling out our country, because the same could be said for others. But did we just start resting on our laurels that we had everything we need? We were the big fat cat? Because it seems like we don't compete in so many areas.
Well, we really do need to take it up a notch, as you said, for your young son. There's people with a different game. There's people that are hungry. While we sit here and complain about China and manufacturing, and they have become the factory of the world, they're also intent on becoming the innovation nation. And while a lot of our children are you know, snug in bed sleeping, a lot of the Chinese children are up studying, working, and competing, because they understand clearly that a solid education is really going to be the ticket for a great future for themselves, for their families, and for their nation. And we do need to kick up our game and not, you know, kind of go back to FDR when he asks, let's ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And we need to have that kind of philosophy here in Michigan, because, look, it would be nice if we could talk about extending the school day, extending the school year, and if Governor Snyder or Governor Bonaro had an extra $1 billion to put into public education. That's not our reality. And yet, if we just sit back and wait till we have that money, other countries, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, and others are going to pass us by.
When we talk about the new state leadership, the new governor is going to have an opportunity to make a huge impact and not just kick the can down the road.
Well, they're going to have to do it. I mean, too oftentimes, and certainly in Lansing, change is avoided until it can be avoided no longer. And when this new crop of legislatures, the new governor, start on January 1, that's the day the change cannot be avoided. The new governor, new legislature are going to be looking at a $1.6 billion deficit that they're going to have to deal with. And we're going to have to get serious, and real change is going to require real change. It's not going to be able to, you know, as I like to say, if you have a hole in your roof, pretending to fix it doesn't keep the water from rushing into your living room. You have to get up there and truly fix the hole. And Michigan has been pretending and spending for far, far too long.
Tom, how do we develop gutsy leaders, leaders who understand challenge, aren't afraid to attack challenge because of the repercussions, but know how to represent their district, but have some guts and courage to really attack issues that are hurting our state?
Well, what we have to have is someone that that is willing to risk it all and can't be worried about the next election or the next cycle. They're going to have to say, we're going to fix this not for next week, not for next year. We're going to fix this for the future. And that's going to require some very tough decisions within education. I wrote a report in 2004 that said that we have a structural imbalance in the way that we fund schools. We are putting in, the money that we put into school is absorbed through health care and pensions that we promised our teachers. Do they deserve decent health care and pension, great health care? Of course. But we've got to the point where we can't afford what we have, and something is going to have to give. The analogy that I'd point out would be like if Tony, you and I owned a coffee shop, and we rewarded our great employees so well with health insurance and pensions and salaries that we could no longer afford to buy coffee in cups. How long are we going to stay in business if we're not investing what our core business is? And that's what's happened in Michigan. It'd be great, and the things worked for a long time when we had the income. But the income in the state has dropped, the tax collection has dropped, and we're trying to continue to do the same thing as though nothing has changed, when in fact, everything has changed. And that's what it's going to take a leader to step up and do and say, we have to stop the pretending. We have to deal with reality.
Thanks so much, Tom.
It's always good to be with you. Thank you.